Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's in that other box. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I had a shower thought, Stephen.
A shower thought?
Yes. Okay, it must really suck to be Ed Boon's assistant.
And why?
Because you have to go through all of his tweets, emails,
right.
Anything handwritten, and just correct every C word and put a K in front of it.
That's weird. Yeah,
and
I guess
could you imagine
to, right?
Over time you're conditioned to that's how you think you spell combat or continue?
Yeah,
the letter K.
Yeah, that is a little weird. That is a little weird. You know, I knew one person that spelled their name spelled his name with a K, Carl with a K instead of a C. And
right.
I don't like that. I like the C for Carl. I don't know why. Although it doesn't make sense, does it? I don't know. The world is a strange place, Andy.
Well, Karl Marx was with a K, so that's why you know it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's who you know.
Absolutely.
That's who you know.
Absolutely.
That doesn't smell right.
And Groucho Carl, was with a G.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Folks, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home Podbean. And, of course, the video on demand goes up one day after recording on YouTube.com/DualScreensTV. If you have iHeartRadio, boom, we're there. Spotify, boom, we're there. Apple Podcasts, boom, we're there. Google Play, boom. Google Podcasts, whatever they're calling it. Boom, 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 boom. We're there. No need to go anywhere else because we're there. Okay? And of course, you can find everything we do on dualscreens.com. Speaking of dualscreens.com, Andy, we're in full swing. We are trying to get all of our Dual Screen Selects articles out before the next gen hits. So we have exactly 1 month and 5 days until next gen is here on our doorstep. So head over to dualscreens.com. Check out our Dual Screen Selects articles. We are picking our very favorite games of this generation. I just put up an article all about Until Dawn, which was one of my favorite games this generation, and I think one of the games that deserves a lot more praise than it gets. And you should have at least three more from me. I've already written one or two. You should have at least three more from me, possibly more. And Andy, I know you have a bunch that you want to do as well. So, and of course,
there's a deadline now, so I gotta get cracking.
We want to start really getting these up there because I think they would also make really, really good video series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that with your dulcet tunes narrating?
Yeah, probably. I actually got a membership to a royalty-free like song catalog, so I have a lot of tracks I could put behind some fun stuff. It's really cool. We're gonna have fun.
I like this idea a lot.
Our most recent seasonal show, the video version of that show is now live. It went live today. It was supposed to auto post on Saturday. It never did. So sorry about that. But it is up as of today, and that of course is Casting Call. It is where Andy and I cast our favorite video games into movies. We had a blast doing Metal Gear Solid. So we want to know whose cast, not necessarily whose cast was better, but like maybe which cast for which character was better, because we can mix and match.
What felt right? What jived
the
most?
What feels good in your gut? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our two Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so we do appreciate it greatly. And speaking of podcasts, the Dual Screens podcast that posted this Thursday was one of my favorite episodes I think I've ever done, and it was a solo episode between me and our guest, Patrick Hickey Jr., who, of course, writes the Minds Behind the Games series. He just came out with the Minds Behind the Sports games, and, dude, some of the stories that he tells about his favorite stories from those books, it's a must-buy. If you have a way of reading digital copies, the book is only $10. I highly recommend it. Check out that interview. We've done several interviews with Patrick at this point. He was a guest on Dual Screens Versus as well. He's a great dude, and this book is incredible. Like, there's stories about the very first Madden and how basically it wasn't Madden, and Madden actually hated the game they were working on, essentially, and they pivoted because of that, and it became the Madden that we know. They actually reskinned a game they were working on that was more arcadey and stuff like that. But they also reverse engineered the Sega Genesis to make it. And that's why they put out their own carts with that little yellow battery. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Sega got really mad at that. And so they had this whole feud, and they basically made their own competitor game in Joe Montana football for Sega so that they can keep their reverse engineered Madden and not get sued to shit.
That is clever. That is the way to do it.
It was an absolute. So they actually made their own competitions game. Both games came out at the same time. And the stories that were told about that development was incredible. So if you like game dev, the Dual Screens podcast, that's what it's all about. It's all about game development. It's all about games creation. And we have well over 130 interviews at this point up there. So please
head over. And also,
yes,
the interviewers also get to interview the interviewers.
Indeed.
That's what you do.
Indeed.
It's full circle.
It's not like a square. It's like a circle.
Not at all.
All right, it's time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt by Missed Enough, who's been slacking for a year. The adventures in gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
This is a bonus, Steven. It's actually a news bit and a game update for the segment.
All right.
So Konami, for some reason, I'm not sure why, they decided to re-release Silent Hill 4 The Room on GOG of all places.
Yeah.
On Friday. And I was like, well, it's only $10, so I'm going to buy it,
only?
Obviously.
Yeah. Only $10 for the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
It's the PC port from back in the day. It's got better frame rates in the cutscenes than the PS2 version.
All right.
And listen, I've been harping about Silent Hill for the longest time.
Yeah.
If I want a new game, I got to support this shit. So it was an instant buy for me. The game is still beautiful as it was back then, as it is now.
Beautiful.
Still scares the shit out of me. And announcement time too, Steven.
Announcement time.
I am itching to get back home because this game will be my first stream.
Wow.
It's been decided. It is this game. It's October. It's Halloween season. It's a horror game. All the stars are aligned. It's happening.
Have you? Yeah, I mean, listen, all the power to you. You know me, I don't like spoopy games. So,
right.
And I will stream a spoopy game if my chat over at twitch.tv/batchild can get enough bat points in there to get me to play. They're close. They're halfway there. They're more than halfway there at this point. So they might get that by Halloween. We'll see what happens. I've been watching a lot of streamers play this. What is it called? Phantasmophobia.
Phantasmagoria?
Phasmophobia? Phasmophobia.
Is it one of those old like CGI FMV games?
No.
It's a new game.
It's a ghost hunting game where you and up to three other friends go and you're trying to investigate paranormal investigation. You're trying to figure out what you have to get evidence that the ghost is there and while not dying from the ghost. And you have to figure out what kind of ghost it is. And it's been going crazy on Twitch. Like more and more people are playing it. It's called Phasmophobia.
Oh, okay.
Phasmophobia.
Could this be a potential guest for this month?
And possibly. I would love that because this game is starting to blow up and they're very transparent on Twitch. There was like a game breaking glitch. But yeah, it's I think I might have to play this, and I really think it might break my whole spoopy game thing because I feel like I would have a lot of fun being goofy in it, but it is terrifying.
It has a perfect score on Steam.
Yeah, it's good.
12,000 reviews, so you know it's legit.
It's good. It's not, it's janky as fuck, but it's.
That's all part of the fun, dude.
But I haven't played it. I've watched plenty of people playing it. I was watching our Patreon producer, FNH Paul, play it on stream today for 7 hours, and it's hilarious. It's funny. Because of the way it fucks with you, while you're messing around. Anyway, what else have you been playing?
I play a little bit of the new Crash Bandicoot.
Okay, slightly. How is it?
Just a hair.
Just a touch.
It's classic Crash, dude. It's
Crash. Yeah.
It's
what else?
You don't gotta reinvent yourself to impress new people.
No, of course not.
Just take the old formula, make it pretty, add a few new elements, like a Mega Man from Mega Man 11.
Right.
That's all we need. And it's classic Crash. And it's actually a fun game. And I can't wait to play more of it at some point during the week.
Yeah. I've honestly just been playing some stuff in my backlog. I don't think I really played anything new. At least not this week. I actually played deeper into Bite the Bullet. I'm about halfway through with that game now. They did a really great job on that game, so I still will keep asking people to play it. I mean, it's got some issues, but whatever. What game doesn't, you know?
Of course.
What else? I've been playing Among Us twice a week, which is great. Now, there is a bit of news about Among Us. I think this happened between our shows, but the developers canceled Among Us 2 and are instead going to add to Among Us because of how it quickly exploded. So now they're going to be adding maps.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, they're going to be adding maps and mechanics and different game modes and like all the stuff that people were asking for instead of remaking the whole game. They're going to be doing that. So like I've been playing backlog stuff. I've played Outer World. I did a 12-hour stream on Saturday to celebrate 300 follows on Twitch. So I played Outer Worlds for a couple of hours. I still got to get through Ghosts of Tsushima, which
dude,
I think I'm
going to play. Dude, Ghosts, because there's a new update coming up soon.
I know. The multiplayer is coming up in 10 days, I think. So I want to get through that. I played a lot of Kingdoms of Amalur. I've been really liking that. I don't think Kingdoms is a game I really care to finish, if I'm being honest. Like, it's just a game that I'm having fun with, but I'm not like itching to see the story. There's so much story going on that I don't think it really matters, like, to my experience. I'm just having fun playing the game. It's not like Outer Worlds where like every bit of dialogue is like branching a story and a path that you kind of have to follow or whatever.
No, that you should treat like your Skyrim. Just let it be in the back burner and just play every now and then.
Exactly. And that's essentially what's been happening.
Right.
Apex is getting, I guess we'll just melt into a minute of Apex, because Apex Legends is getting crossplay starting tomorrow. They're calling it a crossplay beta, which is actually really interesting. Which is a really good way to introduce players to, because if there are problems and when there are problems, they can lean on that whole beta thing. That's essentially what that is. It's they're going to be opening crossplay. We don't know what it means. We don't know what modes are going to be crossplay. We don't know if it's going to be all the game modes. We don't know if ranked is going to be crossplay. We don't know if PC are going to be, keyboard and mouse are going to be playing with console players. From the people that I know that play at a high level, especially one, just twitch.tv/justpeoples, he's a friend of mine. He says that that console players will outclass PC players in the game because of how the game is balanced to controllers. The aim assist and all that stuff is really, really on consoles is way better than even the controller people on PC. And the controller people on PC typically own keyboard and mouse players. So that's a minute of Apex Legends. Check it out. We're going to be doing that. What else? That's really it. I mean, I played a bunch of games for like a little bit of time. I tried to play a lot of games that are more familiar to people this week, because I was streaming almost every single day this week. I need some more like quiet time for me. That's what Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be for me. Just playing, you know, backlogs and all that fun stuff. But that's pretty much it. Andy, what do you got for the indie news story?
Well, one of my favorite games of 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Sure, 2 years ago. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon has sold over 600,000 copies.
Wow.
So, yes to that. Half of which, or more than half, have sold on the Switch.
More than, yeah, that's...
And I think that's where most of us got it. I think I got it there, you got it there, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That game's really cool. I'm telling you, the smartest thing they did was make a lower difficulty for that game. it makes it way more accessible, and the game is still fun, and it's still challenging. I still haven't played the sequel, which I would really like to do. But yeah, I mean, great.
I'm just waiting for the Ritual of the Night sequel at some point.
Yeah, you're going to need 8 years for that, probably.
Well, when the next Kickstarter goes up, that's when I'll probably get it.
Sure. All right, guys. Now it's time to get into the dual screens report. And this is handpicked, curated items. Andy's got three. I got three. And we're going to discuss the news we feel like discussing. Andy, we're going to start actually with me. We're going to start with me.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Cyberpunk 2077 has gone gold, ladies and gentlemen. They tweeted out the picture. It's gold. See you in November.
There was also a Keanu Reeves commercial
yeah.
I saw.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, John, what is his name? Johnny Hand or something like that?
Sure. That's the name.
I think that's his name. Johnny Hand or something like that.
Yeah, anyway, why not?
So, the reason why this is a story is because recently this week, and this is kind of a two for one, and I wanted to like open it up with this because it's a nice discussion. There were reports that they and evidence that they sent out a letter to their employees with mandatory 6-day work weeks, mandatory crunch for the studio. And of course, the crunch hounds, the ones that you know write about this all the time, the Jason Schreiers, the Kotaku, whatever, they took this, they ran with it, and you know, it's been kind of all over the internet that oh, the company that said that they'll never do crunch, that they're not going to do that, that they'd rather delay the game than do crunch, is doing mandatory crunch, not just crunch in general, but mandatory crunch. Now, of course, there are many different factors in this. For example, the employees get a share of profits of the game as a bonus. Some people have been doing the math or ascertaining the math based on The Witcher 3 and based on other factors, and saying that most of these, the lower level people are going to make like $50,000 or $60,000 in a bonus for this game.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's kind of like where the math comes out. And the median, the average income in that country, and I don't know why I'm blanking on where they are in Poland.
Correct.
The average salary is like $5,000 a year in Poland. That's not hyperbole.
These are essentially now millionaires.
So there's a lot of back and forth going on with, is this ethical? Is it whatever? Are they in trouble? Are they hypocrites? Are they whatever? Is anybody really complaining about this? Are the employees actually complaining about this? But my question also is, do you crunch after a game goes gold? Like, I know that you're still trying to get bugs and everything, but I feel like the going gold part is the thing you do crunch to get to. Am I completely wrong with that?
I think you're correct. Gold is like the final ready-to-print copy of the game. Yeah, that's what going gold means. Mm-hmm. Now, this is only a crunch for – is it a 7-day crunch? Or is a seven – how long was it for again? A
6-day crunch.
So it was like we're going to crunch for 6 days.
I thought it was a – you know, you still get your day off, but you have to work 6 days. I thought that's what it was. You know what? I have the article in front of me, so I
– So it's a week.
Go ahead. Keep
so on. Let's get things in perspective. So it's a week. It's a regular work week. Your typical 5-day schedule. You're being asked to work an additional day, either the Saturday or Sunday, whatever you choose, and that's the crunch.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
It's reportedly enacting mandatory 6-day work weeks to finish work on Cyberpunk.
Okay, so that's the thing. 6-day work weeks. How much time though? Is it over a month? Is it over 2 months?
From now until its November 19th release.
Okay, so now what's the release? So I'm guessing they have the gold version, the print, to make the game.
Right.
And then that day one patch, in a sense, could be what this work is up until then.
It's got to be just to like bugs or whatever bullshit.
Right. I don't see the unethical part in this. You know, they were told ahead of time, which is great. I know it's mandatory, but it's not a long period of time. And at the end, they'll all be handsomely compensated when all this is said and done.
Now,
and I'm sure they don't mind getting work it out, Steven. If it's that's what 10 years salary in bonus.
Well, for them, yeah. But
for the low end people.
So some of the issues here are that the studio previously promised employees that there will be no mandatory crunch to finish the RPG. Okay. Badowski, who I believe is one of the top people there, says, "I take it upon myself to receive the full backlash for the decision. I know this is in direct opposition of what we've said about crunch. It's also in direct opposition to what we said about It's also in direct opposition to what I personally grew to believe a while back, that crunch should never be the answer, but we've extended all other possible means of navigating the situation." Last year, one of the co-founders, Marcin Iwiński, gave an interview with Kotaku in 2019 saying that he would like CD Projekt Red to be known as the studio that's humane to its developers and discussing its non-obligatory obligatory crunch policy. So I think like the big like if I was an employee in this situation, I would probably be a little bit upset at the fact that you promised no and now you're mandating it. We also come from a place of kind of privilege in that where we have worker protections. You know, if you're a salaried employee, there's really no off button, but at the same time, there are rules that they still have to follow as your employers. I don't know if the people that work for them are salaried. I don't know if they're hourly. If they're hourly, they're going to get compensated either way. They're working overtime, right? You know, but it's a situation where we as you know Americans ignorant to the situation. You know, we don't have friends that work there. We have resources in AAA development. We do know people there, but we don't really know how this cookie is supposed to crumble, as it were. So I'm not comfortable judging CD Projekt Red on this, on these actions.
I'm not going to judge because they were transparent about it. This wasn't like some expose that came out 5 months after the game was released about an employee saying we had 4 6-day work weeks and we got no bonus and there was no overtime. That's the opposite here. It's we're being told along with the employees, here's what's going on. We sort of messed up. We didn't have the foresight to see what was going on ahead of time, and we're going to course correct. Right. And now you all know. Plus, at the end of the day, they'll take care of their employees.
Right. And at the end of the day, you're working 6 extra days.
Right. Release. Right.
So if you look at it like that, we're working 1 extra work week and plus 1 day in the time, I guess maybe you could look at it that way and kind of silver.
Because if you think about it, is it worth pushing back the day by a week or two?
Just to make it so close. Time. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's like the choice that we can do crunch 1 extra day a week until November and pack in 6 extra more days in our work schedule total. Or push the game back 2 weeks.
Then
not piss anyone off.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and I just wonder, like, when are studios anywhere going to properly staff their games? Like, this always happens, and it's always because they just don't have enough people.
Here's the thing, Steven. You mentioned this bonus and what it equals to those who work in Poland.
Right.
This company has money.
Yeah.
One of the top grossing games. You can hire a few more people. It depends on what the work is we're talking about.
Yeah, and maybe those people just don't exist. Like, when you're bug crunching and stuff, you're looking at high-level programmers, you know? You're looking at people that can
really – you're not trying to find a mailroom person.
Essentially, you know?
Right, yeah.
I just feel like if you're a developer or studio or a publisher that is creating games on this scale, which is all they're doing now, you have to scale up. Scale for what you're making, not what you think you're going to make, or not like, this game is going to take 6 years, so the first 3 years we can just do what we have, and then we'll scale up as we go along. Like, but then all those people are playing catch up. Like, get out there ahead of it. I don't know.
A good alternative is like, look what Naughty Dog or 343 Industries does. They bring in a second or third, sometimes developer teams to help with the polishing aspect towards the end of the game development.
Yeah.
Is that an option here? Like, okay, we're at the home stretch. Let's hire a team to let's outsource some work, bring them in to help us with this last hurdle before release.
I mean, it works for them, but I don't think – like Naughty Dog isn't making a game like Cyberpunk or The Witcher. You know, like they're making something that's much more tunnel vision. Like you could hire somebody to be like, hey, fix the lighting.
Right, yeah.
You know? And they can be like, okay. It's all the same. Some of the environments are open, but
these guns need some more detail on them.
Yeah, like, you know, fix the audio or like
these tits aren't perky enough. Let's fix those.
Let's let's get our top. We need a boob artist here. Okay,
yeah, we got a boob artist. This nipple is off center.
some nipples are off center. Yes. So yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on that and have a little spirited discussion because I honestly think there's no news here. I think it's like
it's fine. As what they call it, it's a tempest in a teapot. It's all nothing really. Right. It's I think if you're trying if you frame it a certain way with a headline to make it seem like they're in the wrong somehow.
Right.
CD Projekt Red.
Yeah.
But you know, in this day and age, you have the headline which says that they're horrible, and then the article says, oh, look how amazing they are.
Right. Right. That actually is going to flow into my next story, but I want to get your first story here.
Oh, Steven. Nintendo did a thing.
Yes, they did. Something we all knew was happening.
Yeah. Apparently, you're going to be in Minecraft. You didn't tell me.
I'm there.
Woo. You didn't fucking tell me, you asshole. Mm-hmm. I thought we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
We do this podcast together on a weekly basis. Twice a week, actually.
I was under NDA. I couldn't say anything.
And who's this Alex person?
Oh, that's Alex.
It's four letters. It's not Andy. Is it a typo? Are we in the game and just misspelling here?
It's Alex of Trophy Horse.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, they had to take somebody from Proving Gamer and somebody from Dual Screen.
Just had to. But anyway, Steve and Alex from Minecraft are coming to Smash.
Indeed.
On the 13th of October.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Did you see this coming?
Yes. Not like I saw it coming like today. Like, no, like, I knew that eventually, yes, Steve is going to be in Smash. Like, it seems like a no-brainer.
What was your reaction seeing Sakurai holding a Minecraft sword? You're like, oh, great, another sword character.
I am so over Smash. Like, I just don't care at this point. Like,
right.
Put everybody in it to make people happy. Like, I don't personally care. You could add every character that Nintendo that is
well, except Waluigi, because
yeah,
that should never happen.
Like, you can literally add if a game has ever come to Nintendo, you could add that character into Smash, and I'd be like, okay, cool, congratulations to the people who care about that.
I just don't want this to be like, you know, ignoring Nintendo franchises, because again, we've had this talk a lot of times. There's a huge well to dip into for characters.
Yeah.
So even though recently Phil Spencer said that it would take only an invitation to get Master Chief in Smash.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Nintendo's court to make that happen.
Yeah.
Oof, could you imagine that? You have Minecraft, you have Halo, and you have Banjo-Kazooie in the Smash game.
His abilities look cool, though. I will say that.
Right, yes.
He looks cool.
That's pretty nifty. Like
Kirby sucking him up, turning into a cube. That's pretty cool.
I know. That's adorable.
That's pretty cool. Not going to lie. All right, let's get back into the shitty part of gaming. So Ubisoft has been in hot water again.
You know, a lot lately, and more things are happening.
Yeah. The reason why I want to talk about this is because there was actually an interesting Twitter post that I saw earlier, and there was a bunch of discussion in there. This is coming from Joe Scrubbles at IGN. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot has emailed employees of the company today, providing an update on the publisher's investigations into abuse and highlighting, quote, four closely related areas in which we need to improve quickly. Following this audit, Ubisoft has identified there was an audit of 14,000 anonymous responses to surveys. So they did tons of research into this via their employees. So they, number one, they want to guarantee a working environment where everyone feels respected and safe. Number two, putting diversity and inclusion at the heart of everything we do. Three, refocus and strengthen our HR function. And four, make the managers of the group accountable and empower them. According to Ubisoft's internal investigation, roughly 25% of employees, quote, have experienced or witnessed some form of workplace misconduct in the past 2 years, and that one in five do not fully feel respected or safe in the work environment.
You don't feel safe? That's a strong way to put it.
Well, safe.
I get the respect thing. Like, maybe there's no mutual respect between you and some other person, or things are said, or you hear things in passing that are somewhat disrespectful, but not feeling safe?
Safe is not
that's a strong characterization.
Well, I mean, safe doesn't necessarily mean safe from physical harm.
It's safe from what then?
It could mean safe from mental harm. It could be safe from abuse.
Abuse. You know, I would imagine that you can put it that way. I imagine.
There have been jobs where I didn't feel safe, like when I transferred from one store to another because of the mental toll that it was taking. Like, I didn't feel like I could have a clean day's work with one of the people that was in charge because of how they treated me.
So mental anguish.
So it wasn't even just mental. It was like straight up anxiety and like, what are you going to find today to like make my life miserable today? Like, what are you going to figure out? So like, I could understand somebody from that. Like, it's not like, oh, I don't feel safe because he's going to carry an AK-47 into work.
Like, right, or like, or no, no, I mean more like groping or harassment, that kind of thing. Like,
I mean, that is part of this. That, I mean, that is right. definitely part of it. You know, a lot of butt slapping and pinching and whatnot, or shoulder.
You know, it really makes you wonder how they failed on these 4 points so catastrophically. Like, you found these four key areas to improve. Like, how have you not, after all this time, you've been making games for years, that you can't guarantee a working environment that feels safe and you can be respected while you're working in it?
I can tell you 100%.
It should be figured out by now.
I can tell you 100% how it happens. I've been part of it. I've been part of a company that was small, that grew and grew and grew and grew.
And quickly, probably grew too fast.
Very quickly. Yeah. And what happens is the culture that started the place, a lot of the times, the people that brought that culture, I'm talking about the good culture, the people that brought that don't touch all of the places of the company because the company's so big. They can only spend.
Right. Well, they can't. They're unable to.
You're exactly right. They're not able to. They're just spread way too thin. And it's just something that happens. And I think I think that at least identifying this is a good first step. First, knowing that it was a problem is a good first step. Now, knowing what the problems are, they figured out that there was a problem. Now they're figuring out what the problem is. Now they have to be trusted that they're going to actually put the means and methods in place to fix the problem. And I think that is going to be their biggest challenge, because when you have so many people that are entrenched in positions of power for so long and foster those types of work environments, there are two ways that you could fix that. You either put somebody on top of them, above them, that holds them responsible for their actions, or you get rid of them. Those are the two things that you do. Those are the only two things that you can do. You can't retrain those people. They are going to think, and you see it with our civil climate right now, right? When somebody says, oh, these fucking PC police, right? You complain, oh, this is too PC. Oh, come on. It's the boy who cried wolf. You do that. Like, that's the mindset that you're going to have when you go into this and you're being told, hey, you can't talk like that. You can't say those things because women work here. Gay people work here. Black people work here. You can't make those jokes. Those are inappropriate. And they go, ah, you're just too sensitive. That's a mindset. That's something that's in their brain forever.
Right. And it's also like, you know, you're working. Yeah. And you're all part of a team. Like, I wouldn't want to offend anyone that's on my team. Like, I have a very diverse team where I work. Yeah. You know, there's only one straight male on the entire team. And like, you know, I can get a little sassy sometimes, but I don't overstep my boundaries. And I don't understand how people weren't taught to be respectful. Like, where was that disconnect? Because, you know, you and I are about the same age. And I would never touch anyone inappropriately or say the wrong thing that would offend them.
Yeah, I think like, you're looking
like,
at it
like this base human interaction.
You're looking at it from a common sense standpoint, which
is right, which is I think it's our downfall ultimately.
Yes, 100%. You can't. The problem is that people like that, people that are in those positions, don't know that it is disrespectful. They just
right, and you see that's the answer right there, because if you let that stuff slide, that person won't know that it's wrong.
That's why we always say to each other, call us out on our shit. Like, I can give you a great example right now.
Actually. Go ahead.
So we've been playing a lot of Among Us, right? And one of the things that everybody throws around is, oh, you know, Bat's being really sus right now. Mikey Kirsch is being really sus. JD Neal is being really sus right now. Okay, great. I go into – so I made a – I hand drew my character in Among Us and I wrote S-U-S under it, sus. And I went into Snowbike Mike's chat. He was playing and he was wearing the same costume. It was the pink guy with the blue hat. So I showed him the emote. And I was like, sus, 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 whatever. And then Billy the Door, who is a friend of the show, DMs me, messages me. And he sends me this whole thing that sus is a derogatory term used toward gay people for years that were suspected of being gay and in the closet. And it was used as a means to harm those people and call them out and like all this stuff. So it was, it obviously wasn't something that like I knew, right? It wasn't, I was,
this is news to even me.
Right. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. Like to me, it doesn't matter that.
That's because I don't know. Does it mean that I'm in the right to say it? Like, well, whatever. I can still use it now.
Right. And my first reaction was, fuck, it's a good emote. Like I love it. But I'm like, but it doesn't matter what I like. It doesn't
matter. It was a shirt. Didn't you make it into a shirt?
I did, but
I saw that link.
If I didn't take it down, I will. let me explain. So I looked at the story. I looked at the page of like how it was derogatory, and like there were other. It wasn't like some bullshit. It was like a actual. It wasn't about the word sus. It was about a discrimination towards the gay community, and sus was was one of those breakdowns of like words that were used, right? So I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't matter. So I went in, I redrew the thing, I colored in, and I wrote yeet instead, like to yeet me into space. I changed the emote, I uploaded it, I went right into my chat. I was like, here it is, and then I tweeted out, hey, if you're one of those people that thinks that people are being oversensitive, it doesn't fucking matter. If you're hurting somebody, it takes 10 minutes to fix it. It took me 10 minutes to just get rid of it. I don't care because I know that. My goal is to be respectful.
And see, here's if I'm the thing, though, something Steven.
New, I'll adjust.
Right, but here's the thing. It wasn't as if your chat tried to find out where you worked, who your family is.
Right.
Let's get you fired. Right. Let's go send you death threats. Let's firebomb your house. Like, it works both ways. Like, if you want me to learn something new, because you know about it, and I for that matter. Like, if you approach me in a more respectable way, then I'm a human being. I'll listen.
And
you know,
and that's exactly what happened. So
no one tried to cancel you. No, is the point of what I'm trying to make.
And the nature of which this spread around was that way was not a cancel thing. It was a person saying, "Hey, this game blew up, and it's really uncomfortable and weird that a word that I grew up around that had such hurtful and derogatory meaning being thrown around. I understand why. I understand there's no malice or anything like that. I know that it's not being used that way, but there is history here. I don't expect anybody to change it. I don't want anybody to change it, but this is just information that I want to share with people who are using it, and you can make the decision to do what you want with that information." And I took that and I was like, okay, it's now yeet. I'm done. You know, that was it. That's all I needed because
it would take you more energy to fight that and debate it.
It would take more energy
and defend it.
To be like, no, sus is not a bad word.
I'm just going to change it.
Right. Yeah, I don't care. I it was a cool thing because it's like, you know, sus is like, oh, you're so suspicious, you know, whatever. But like, who cares? Yeet me
this is all. Now, yeah. Funny. See, now I got to research this and find out more about it.
Yeah, find out.
This is my being a bad gay comes through yet again on this podcast.
To bring this back to Ubisoft, like
yes, correct. And, that's where you work.
And here's the reason why I put this in here, not just because we want to shit on developers again, because we don't. We love developers. They make the games we love. And I've been on the Ubisoft train for like through Rabbids.
Through the good times and the bad. Through the Prince of Persia reboot.
Right. So somebody posted, I forget who it was on Twitter. I'm not injecting my opinion in here. Are you, based on what's happening at Ubisoft, are you comfortable spending money on the games that they put out? It wasn't like, oh, you're an asshole if you do. It was just, I just want to know what people are thinking out there. And my whole thought thing is like, you know, when you say separate the art from the artist, that could be true in some circumstances and not true in other circumstances. Like if it's one person that does one thing and then, you know, makes the one thing for you and then is a really shitty person, I could be like, no, I'm not. I don't need to support that. But the people who make the thing that I love are the people who are the 25%. 25% of those people are the victims of the thing that's happening. Right?
Right. It's like, listen, how many times do we shit on Randy Pitchford at Gearbox? And yet he's the face and he's done some questionable things, but there's others that work there diligently 24/7 to make the games that we love. And he doesn't represent the entire group that works there.
And again, it's a minefield, right? It's like
it is. It really is. Yeah.
Well, anything that you buy that Ubisoft makes is going to go to those top people, right? They're going to get bonuses. They're going to get incentives. They're going to get whatever. But it's a good faith purchase. That's mm-hmm. what I would be doing, because I am trusting that my money, when I buy a Ubisoft game, is going to go to the creation and development and curation of a better culture and better video games. That's it. That's all I could hope for my, and I get entertainment out of it. Those are the things that I could hope very succinctly happens when I spend my money on a Ubisoft game. I'm not saying, yeah. I don't care if you spend it on drugs. I don't care if you, you know,
oh.
give the CEO or whatever money so he can rape people.
We're like, we don't want to shame people in their extracurricular activities. You want to get some drugs and some whores? By all means. I can tell you some stories, Stephen, of things I've seen and I've heard in my day.
I'd rather not.
That's a separate podcast. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel – listen, it's the current year. We have to grow and evolve. And you know, at the very least, if we're in a place for most of our day, the place we call work, mm-hmm. I want to at least feel safe there. And I can get through their day without being harassed or, you know, molested in some way or psychologically tormented or just broken down mentally with being micromanaged to death like you or I imagine.
Like
someone just always out to get you.
I saw such subtle racism in a previous employer. Like it was so subtle, but it was like, and I don't even think they knew they were doing it. They just subconsciously did it. Where if you looked at scheduling, all of the black
was it people, segregation?
Yes, all of them were scheduled together. It was like, what are you doing?
Well, what if he was like, what if they all want to get along? Put them all in the groups and then
fine.
they'll be with their own kind.
It would happen with hiring too. It was like, no, we already have X here.
Could you imagine like I don't want to start a race war? Separate the colors.
What? Like, what are you saying? No, they can't answer the phone because they're not articulate. What?
See, that's horrible. Not articulate?
Then teach them to be articulate. Like, what? What? Oh, this guy has an accent. He's got to be in the kitchen? What?
You see, that's bad. But, you know, I've come across instances of where I've had some friends who, when they're given compliments, they interpret it as that same light racism. They think that being told that they did a great job, they've been through so much, they think that, shit, is it because I'm black? He's surprised that I did a good job?
The psychological impact of
right. So it's years of it's the years of going through it and being conditioned to think a certain 100%. Way. Which
I can't pretend to know what that life is like. So I don't I don't judge. I'm like okay, if I have to explain myself more, better, clearer, I'll do that.
Use your words,
because I want to make an impact. Speaking of an impact.
You know what? I want to save this for later because I want to get through some more bad news first.
Okay.
There's a story in here this week. Oh, first of all, I want to address Snowbike Mike in the chat.
Yes.
Snowbike Mike, I've been watching you on the XCast, and your face, look in the camera right now, your face is looking muy caliente as of late.
It's radiant.
That Lake Tahoe lay is hitting you in just the right way, my friend.
Right in the right way. And that purple check mark next to your name on Twitch.
So sultry. So sultry and so sexy.
My God.
Moving on.
Speaking of harassment.
There's a story, yes. There's a story in here. It's a non-story. But yet somehow it blew up. Apparently, Insomniac Games had decided to change Spider-Man's face for the remaster of Spider-Man for the PS5.
Sure.
It was done in a way to their exact reason, if I can pull this up really quickly, what the quote was.
I think it was like to more make it more look.
It was in order to make even more believable looking characters for the PS5.
Right.
The team needed an actor with a better facial match to Yuri Lowenthal, who's the voice actor for Peter Parker.
Sure.
So this non-story became morphed into them getting death threats from people over a simple face change. Now, this is like when you recast an actor in a show or a movie. It's bound to happen.
Right.
Not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. It's a video game.
Yep.
I get it. Mm-hmm. There was accusations of him looking more like Tom Holland to kind of cash in on the movie franchise success.
Nothing like Tom Holland.
Don't see it. And I'm pretty sure if they want, they would just say, hey, let's just use Tom fucking Holland because we're fucking Sony and we can have him do it.
Right.
So this is a non-story and it's bullshit. And people are getting so fed up and so outraged that they send death threats. What bothers me is another big story happened this week that I'm going to segue into now that really demands people's anger and not death threats, but a reaction.
Sure.
Nintendo, as you know, has a class action suit against them for the Joy-Con drift.
Yep.
You're aware of this?
Yes.
My launch switches Joy-Cons full on drift. I know a number of our listeners. Same issue, and I think you as well.
Yep, I repaired mine.
Are in that category. The lawyers who filed the class action lawsuit took to Reddit to get actual video clips of people's controllers drifting, which I think I may actually reconnect my old ones that are busted to get this, because Nintendo was arguing that Joy-Con drift isn't a real problem and hasn't caused anyone any inconvenience. This is a real problem because all of us bought a Switch with Joy-Cons that were rendered useless now. And Nintendo, they cannot say it's their issue, because if they do, they've lost the lawsuit more or less.
Right.
So people, if you're going to go on Twitter and bitch about Spider-Man's face and send death threats, look at some real issues. Nintendo is trying to fuck you over yet again. A lot this year lately, it seems. It seems to be a pattern for them.
Yeah, they're so weird. Please, they're having a weird year.
So please, if you have Joy-Con drift, do a quick video and send that, less than 90 seconds as per the request, and send that to Nintendo Class Action at chimilicles.com. That's C-H-I-M-I-C-L-E-S. .com.
Indeed.
That is what deserves your attention. That fucking Spider-Man's face. You assholes. And the rant is over.
All right. Let's get the last of the bad news.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one because I don't really understand most of it.
The headline is amusing, to say the least. I don't think that was a contest, but whatever.
Yeah. This is from Kotaku. Microsoft is beating Sony at cross-generation save transfers. I want to read some of this. As often as the case between video game generations, several high-profile PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X games will also be available on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. But when it comes to the ability to play the game on last-gen console and pick up right where you left off in the game next-gen version, there unfortunately isn't one simple answer. The one blanket response Kotaku received while researching this topic came from Microsoft, a rep which is more than happy to explain the benefits of smart delivery. While every purchase of an Xbox One game coming bundled with a free upgrade to the Xbox Series X version is great, an often overlooked aspect of smart delivery is that transferring game saves between generations will also be supported at the platform level. We know for sure that Xbox version... Okay, whatever, we'll get out of there. The topic gets way more complicated when PlayStation 5 enters the conversation. Unless Sony says otherwise, our emails on the topic have gone unanswered. There is no system in place that will allow the transfer of saves from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 a la smart delivery. As far as we can tell, this is being left up to the individual developers to figure out on their own, with some deeming the feature more necessary than others. And much like with the Xbox Series X, only a few have clearly detailed their plans for the PlayStation 5. As of now, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, and Marvel's Avengers are the only games to known to support transferring progress made on PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 versions. But some developers already have systems in place that may come into play. And then they go on to explain that Ubisoft has their own like online cloud save, whatever. And finally, while Dirt 5 and Yakuza Like a Dragon will utilize smart delivery on Xbox Series X, their respective developers have confirmed that neither game will support transferring saves from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. A lot of this confusion comes from Sony being mum on the subject. It's currently unknown whether progress will carry over in other high-profile games, even when it comes to first-party games like for Horizon Forbidden West and Sackboy: A Big Adventure. This would be a bummer under any circumstances, but with Microsoft pushing save transfers as a core component of smart delivery, the lack of a similar system from Sony is definitely a knock against the PlayStation 5. Now, before I kick it to you, there are a couple of things that I saw as I was kind of looking around to research this a little bit. And one of the main things that I think is why Sony is in a different position than Microsoft is because Series X games that are also on the Xbox One are not Series X games. They are Xbox One games that are being rezzed up, ported up, or whatever to Series X. From what I can understand, and this has been confirmed for Spider-Man, this has been confirmed for, I think it was Dirt. Dirt 5 actually said this, I believe. There were a couple of other developers that said this, that their PlayStation 5 games are not the same as the PlayStation 4 games, period. They're not up-res, they're not upscaled, they're different games. I don't know if that's because of the PlayStation 5's hardware, how it's programmed, how it whatever, or if they literally have to build a different SKU or different version of the game to be considered a PlayStation 5 game and not just a backwards compatible PlayStation 4 game. Because from what we can understand, Microsoft said in the first 18 months there are no Xbox Series X exclusive games. This is probably why. Because if they make a right now they're kind of blurring the line of what is an Xbox Series X game. Because right now all Xbox Series X games are Xbox One games. Everything that's going to be coming out. That's not you don't say the same for PS5 right now, right? At least not for everything. So what I'm wondering is it possibly because the PlayStation 4 versions of a game aren't simply just getting up-resed and ported, but rather being the things that they add to it to take advantage of what the PlayStation 5 is offering them makes it a different game. I still say, after saying all of that, stop it. Just figure it out. Help them. Sony should just step in and say, this is stupid. Let's figure this out. Here's how you do it. Here's how we're doing it with Miles Morales. Here's how you guys can do it. End of story. That's my opinion. That's my tinfoil hat situation. That's what that's the only thing I could think of might be a roadblock here. Now, PlayStation has always left things up to developers because they empowered their developers to take advantage of things or opt in or opt out of certain aspects of their ecosystem. They were always that way. And Microsoft is leaning more towards a ubiquitous platform. So, because they need things to do that. They need things to be ubiquitous because of how they are scaling where their games go and where they play. So I want to get your thoughts. What are your thoughts on that?
Steven, you have no idea how right you are. I am so glad that this made the agenda this evening because I really get to flex the insider muscle on this podcast.
Okay.
But I'm going to say a few things to you right now. I want you to pay close attention to that Yakuza 7 PS5 release.
Okay.
There's a reason why that game is coming out months later on PS5. It's not a Microsoft deal to get it day one on the Series X. Something is happening with that game that I can't get into that explains this very problem. And you are on the money with your assessment that it's the PS5 version is different in ways that the saves aren't easy to transfer over from one to the other. Now that came from some Sega contacts of mine with regards to Yakuza, and when you mentioned Spider-Man, that kind of makes sense because it's not a one for one game. We're getting a brand new Spider-Man, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and they said as much, right? They said this, when they said the reason why you need the ultimate thing and the reason why you're paying for it is because it is not Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man PS5. It's a different, whatever. There was another
Steven, could I transfer my PS3 Last of Us save to Last of Us Remastered?
No, you cannot.
I don't think so.
You also now what I think they yeah, it's interesting.
Like I said, I would say just between us and our listeners to keep a watchful eye on that PS5 Yakuza 7. I'm not going to get the game on Xbox or play it when it comes out initially on PS4 either. I'm going to wait for that one until it's on PS5, and for good reason too. Now, I agree with you that they should be more transparent about it. Like, just say, this is why. Okay, cool. There's a reason. You've explained yourselves. Don't put it in the ether in limbo. Like, well, it's all muddled and confused now. Like, what's the exact – if we can have it so right on the Xbox side with their game saves and the cross saves, and it's all fully explained, their upgrade path to the next system, then why can't we get that from Sony?
Buzz asks a question, says these aren't remasters though for the Last of Us situation. Now, what I need to say to that is that's exactly what these are. Because you can play your PlayStation 4 discs in your PS5 and get things like 4K, whatever, textures, you know, boosted performance. That is different from buying the PlayStation 5 version of that PlayStation 4 game and putting it in the system. And you are ostensibly getting a remastered version for next-gen consoles on when you buy the PlayStation 5 game. And what they need to communicate better is saying you don't need to transfer your saves over because your PlayStation 4 versions will work. Just plug it in. You're going to get boosted performance and your saves will go over there. And they've already confirmed that. They've already confirmed. Right. I think it was a year old. It was when they first had that weird nerdy tech thing about PS5. They said all your saves will carry over from PlayStation 4 for PlayStation 4 games played on PlayStation 5. That's what they said was happening. That was a one-to-one thing that was going to happen. But when The Last of Us Remastered came out, it wasn't like you taking your PS3 disc and you're putting in your PS4 and then transfer your save. It was a brand new game. And I think that's really what's happening here is that
right. And the game is called Remastered. That's right. We have the standard already with The Last of Us. Right. It's a brand new game, brand new save file. It's not going to carry over. And like I told you, listen, Microsoft, there's a reason why they got the Xbox Series X Yakuza 7 version early, because Sega doesn't care about getting that more polished. There's a difference in the PS5 one coming out months later. I'll tell you right now, it's happening for a reason. And this is part of it. It's because something about that PS5 version of the game is different in a way similar to remastered version, like a Spider-Man or a Last of Us, for example.
Yeah, it's got to be a fundamental difference in what, like, if you take the PS4 version and the PS5 version and you look at the base code, something has to be different in order for this not to work. Something needs to be fundamentally different. And maybe that's what they mean by it's up to the developers, because they could make it fundamentally different, right? Mm-hmm. Or they could just up-res the textures, put a higher frame per second, and take advantage of the hard drive. Maybe, if you shove your PS4 disc in, like, maybe that's, they're like, okay, well, that's the PS5 version. Okay. That's your decision. You're deciding that those are the enhancements you're going to make for your next gen version of the game. But we are not taking that. We're rebuilding the game. We're rebuilding assets. We're rebuilding that could only be done with PlayStation 5.
Would people prefer there be a mandate for Sony to say, if you're going to put your game on PS5 to sell at a later date retail, it's separate from the PS4 version, you must have that PS5 version saved compatible with the PS4 version, cross save. Should that be a thing going forward?
I think it would be smart for them to do that because, you know, you don't have to worry about this with games of service. Right?
Oh, of course not.
Because games of service are like a cloud-based thing. Those are meant to be scaled up, down, left, and right. It's really just for the single-player games, right? Single-player, maybe like online multiplayer, but like in a smaller ecosystem, like you join my game or I join your game.
Right.
Not necessarily like we're playing Destiny, you know? Because all of those saves go everywhere else. Battle Royale, mm-hmm. all those saves go everywhere else. Of course, Call of Duty is going to have a cloud save because that game is already cross-play and cross-progression.
But, Steven, what I'm hearing is when they released Final Fantasy VII, the original game on PS4, my PS1 memory card should be able to go into the PS4 to get that old save from when I was 13 onto the PS4. That didn't happen, and that upsets me tremendously.
Yeah. Now, like, I get what you're saying, but the problem here is that Microsoft has been very clear with what their strategy is.
They have,
but I don't think that they – I think the proof is going to be in the pudding when these
and games I come think out. It's a lot to do with what you said before, that these aren't Xbox Series X only games. There's that 18-month lag between what is only on the next-gen platform.
Yeah.
That allows this ease of transfer between the old and the new.
Right. And they've essentially confirmed that for their first-party titles, right? They're like, no, these are Xbox One games that are going to get enhanced for Series X. Enhanced last-gen versions are not remasters. They're not remakes. They're not whatever. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but I think PlayStation's taking the route of maybe with Horizon – they will take that route and say, no, it's just enhanced for PS5. I don't know.
You know what, Steven? We have a lot of guests coming up for October that are working on both cross-gen games and only PS5 and Series X and Xbox One X games. This would be a great chat to have with them if they can offer a reason why this is the way it is. And if they can shed some light on why this is only the way it is for Sony games for the time being.
Yeah. All right, hit us up with some good news.
Oh, Steven, one of our favorite games from PAX East this year is like a huge success.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy. Genshin Impact is the biggest ever global launch of a Chinese game. So, yeah. I mean, we played the game in February. Yeah. We loved it. It's out now for free. And it's making bank.
It's making bank. There were worries that the mobile version had a bunch of spyware in it. And the PC version had a bunch of spyware in it.
Consider the source, after all.
Yeah. But I think PlayStation's going to be where I do want to play that game. I want to try it, but I have so much shit in my backlog I need to get rid of.
Right.
You've been playing it?
I play a little bit of it. Not enough to mention in the earlier segment. But listen, it's not a Breath of the Wild clone. No. It's so much more than that. And we knew that from months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing this game do so well makes me really happy. I mean, it's a free game, yes, but it's got some microtransaction-y things, but it's not super like trying to gotcha out of your cash.
Everybody that I spoke to has said they are not compelled to spend money at all.
Exactly. Which
could be a problem. Could be a huge problem.
Right.
But I think China's really only trying to get money from China. Like, they're the ones that spend like a ton of money on this stuff. Like, they outspend usually in these types of games. So, like, they're probably used to dropping, you know, a couple hundred bucks, you know.
Well, here's some fun stats. Before the game came out, pre-registrations outside of China were 5.3 million. And on launch day, had more stream viewers than Fortnite on Twitch.
Yeah.
That's a lofty goal.
It's a cool game, man. Yeah. Great concept. Kudos to the development team. That was a lot of fun to play at PAX.
I mean, it's got waifus, it's got husbandos, so it's got all that stuff. Waifus. Yeah.
All right. It's time to get into the hype zone. Andy, what do you got for the hype zone?
Steven, yes. This is the term that you'll hear a lot.
What are we going
to
hear?
If you ever go to Japan.
Okay.
And motherfucker, I just closed the tab with the translation. Give me one moment.
Oh my god.
But it's all very spooky.
Things are getting real sexy over here right now.
Here it is. Okay. And the term is as follows. Okay. The term is X o oshite kakunin shimasu, which translates to press X to confirm. That's right, Steven.
Finally.
After years of O being the confirmation button. After years of us always pressing X by accident, playing Metal Gear Solid and going back to the main menu like assholes, the day has finally come. Mm-hmm. X is now the official confirm button for games in Japan.
Let's give a round of applause.
We did it. We did it.
X gonna give it to you, and it ain't the
we did it, Steven.
X. It ain't the One X. It's the PlayStation X button, boys and girls.
And I really think, Steven, this is what happens when you have games like Ghost doing so well in Japan, right, and Days Gone. Mm-hmm. Western developers that have X as the confirm button.
Yeah. We got in there. We got in there, man. We changed things up. Yeah. We're changing the world one button at a time.
America, fuck yeah. That's all I got to say about that. All
right, we're going to kick it to the chat. Chat, if you have anything you want to talk about, please, now is the time to do so while I go over to our Facebook question of the week. The Facebook question of the week was, what is your favorite genre of game and what game in that genre coming next gen are you most excited for?
Oh, boy.
Okay. I just want to double check something real quick. Yes, this is last week's. Okay, good.
Mine is obviously horror, and the game is the fictitious Silent Hill game that sure. I keep fantasizing Absolutely. About on Absolutely. A daily basis.
So, Zach Lobenstein, or Stein, I'm sorry, Zach, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, my bad, says RPG, Starfield, which is Fallout in space. Sign me up. Daniel says looter shooter, loot 'em up, big open world checklist games. Pretty excited for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Ooh.
Farmer Pete says RPGs, and I think I got to go with Avowed for my next gen game. I'm most excited for.
Oh, no one's saying Fable yet for RPGs. I'm shocked. Go on.
Well, probably because it doesn't exist. Vanessa says RPG, Elder Scrolls 6. Yes, I'm basic and I don't care.
That's a great choice, though.
Mr. Matt Murray missed enough himself. Says, I have a hard time answering this question, but in the past 10 to 15 years, roguelikes have really become a solid part of my everyday gaming. As far as next gen, I'm not sure, but both Rogue Legacy 2 and The Binding of Isaac Repentance are right around the corner. And then Katty says, action adventure, and does not answer the question fully.
Okay.
So that's the thing. For me, I think I'm going to go with my action RPG is my favorite genre. And I think I'm going to go with either Diablo 4 or Godfall. Now, I know Godfall is more of like a slasher looter, shooter, as it were. But the action RPG elements I'm really excited for.
Surprised you didn't go with like a Horizon Forbidden West.
You know, I kind of don't want to do the open world thing right now. Like, I just, I want that thing to come a little bit later. Like, yeah, I'm excited for it. I want to get into it, but like, I don't know, man. I wasn't super in love with Horizon.
Steven, that Godfall, though, you can't play offline single player, so
I know.
It's done. It's done, write it off. It's a wrap. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Boycott it.
Mikey Kirsch has a question in the chat. He says, if I can't get a PS5 on launch, do you think I should still get Cyberpunk? I don't see a reason why I shouldn't, especially if they're the same game and I'm only missing out on some ray tracing. The only thing that might stop me is if there are serious performance issues. What are your guys' thoughts?
I have thoughts.
Tell me your thoughts.
My thoughts are, it is a CD Projekt Red game. It's going to take you between now and when you're 5 years down the road to finish that game. So buy it on PS4, start it, and then when you get your PS5 in a few months, just upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on this one. I think you're going to want to be, Mike, you're going to want to be part of the zeitgeist on this.
Yeah,
it's going to be really big. Like every streamer is going to be playing it. And if you're, and I know you're big into, I know Mike personally, he's going to be very big into, like, he watches a ton of streamers like I do. Everyone's going to be playing the game. You don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah.
You just don't. Like, just do
it. And then you're avoiding spoilers until it comes out. It's a whole headache. Why bother? Just be part of the hype when it comes out.
That's exactly right. Anybody else have any questions? Hit us up right now in the chat. Once again, listeners and YouTube viewers, if you are watching this later or listening to this later, we do the show live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, so you can get all of your questions, all that fun stuff, answered live on the show. And I'm going to post right now the Facebook question of the week. Here we go. We're going to post it right now. Of the week, does cross save between current and next gen matter to you? Why or why not? There's the question of the week. And we're going to put a GIF there that's going to be like, why? Mm-hmm. There we go. Post. That's the question of the week. What else we got? Nothing else in the chat. Just some people saying hello, so I appreciate that. So let's take this bad boy home. Let's take it home. Let's take it home. Let's take it home. If you want to follow the show on social media, you could do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. If you want to follow us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the thumbs up and please leave a comment. It will help the show's algorithm get us up there, please. And if you want to follow me on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/batchild. I stream like 5 days a week, so hit me up over there. We want to thank our contributors, Matt Murray, Missed Enough, who did our overlay, our logos. Thank you, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Anytime there's a drawing, cartoon drawing of us for dual screens, Andrew does that, and you can follow him at Angimodo. If you want to support us on Patreon, please, please consider doing so. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Thanks again to our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
It's October, Steven. You know what that means.
Spooptober.
We have some horror game coverage coming on the podcast.
We do.
All month long. And we have an amazing lineup of guests. Some old favorites are going to come back, some new faces. It's going to be one hell of a month.
One hell of a
month. And I'm very excited about that. And then lastly, lastly, I want to say, as we end the show, it's about that dog walking time, and it's pitch black outside.
Oh, my God. If you're murdered, what's going to happen?
I don't know. You got to find a replacement. So,
I'm scared.
Our show will end because I'm irreplaceable. But you were saying?
I'm scared. So the show this week on Thursday is going to be a little bit late because our guest can only record on Thursday night. So please know that that show is probably going to post closer to like the very end of the day on Thursday. Maybe we do the recording live, Andy. I don't know if you're up to it, but
oh, I'm into that.
Maybe we could do that live on Twitch so you guys can watch it live if you'd like.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And that show
is this for our first guest? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm referring to whoever we're recording with on Thursday.
Okay. I am so down for that because the subject matter is terrifyingly sexy.
Indeed. Indeed. It's a hentai game.
Just gonna put that one out there.
Anyway, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, chat. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.